Raise one hand, let's say together. Dear Father, name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive revelation knowledge as given by your Spirit. Our hearts are purified to receive in meekness revelation of your Son. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this service, is glorified as we are edified together with the body of Christ. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28. Now we continue on the inward witness. And we're looking at that role. You know, knowing very well that, as we have studied, there are different ways that God leads us. God always finds a way to lead his people. Saying that, he always finds a way to lead his people. Matthew's Gospel 28. And then I'm going to read verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority which was power given unto me in heaven and earth, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, that's the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, or the age of men. Now, to make disciples, we have said, requires teaching, and what we said, teaching by precept and by example. In other words, if God uses us to make disciples, right? You don't recruit disciples, you make them. But let's look at the key word, and we said, to be a disciple means you're going to be a student, a pupil, mathetes in the Greek, where that word make disciples is from, mathetuo. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-S is mathetes, mathetuo is M-A-T-H-E-T-E-O. Now, a very critical fabric of that is to become like a child. To become like a child, which means that if I'm going to learn the word of God, I must have the attitude of a child. Now, I'm going to say this publicly, and it's important. Just about last week, I was speaking to leaders of church, and we're talking about the series we took on building effective and healthy relationships. So, I had the course to ask people, what did you learn, just to see that we're applying that. Now, see, there's a way you can be a pastor, a leader, and assume some things are not for you. Now, it can happen to just everyone else, including myself. For example, if I preach something, I may assume that the sermon is for you. So, I'm just going to be here to preach it, right? And that's a huge error. Because both the preacher and the listener are given the responsibility to do the word. To act on the word. That's why Paul will say, follow me, because I follow Christ. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. Which means, because I do the word. That's it. He'll say, Timothy. Now, he told Timothy about having good doctrine. 1 Timothy 4, 6. Alright? It says, if you put the burden in remembrance of these things, you'll be a good minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Alright? 1 Timothy 4 and 6. In 7, he told him to, you know, refuse, hold wise fables, exercise himself unto godliness. Then he tells him that godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. It goes on and on. Then he tells him in 12, be thou an example of the believers. Now, he talked about doctrine in 6. Now, be an example. Then he says, in what constitutes good doctrine? Faithfulness, love, purity, right? In spirit. He says, in conversation, be an example. Which means that, don't fall into the trap because you are the preacher or you are the teacher. You don't feed on what you have made or what you have said, what you have taught. And so you have responsibility to act on the word. So I was saying this about leaders, and I said, no, you should ask yourself, how does this apply? So I was asking very straightforward questions, just like I taught you at the Workers' Congress, that Every time you hear a teaching, I got the hold of that from the Deeper Life Christian Ministry in the late 80s, late 89 and 90. And they say, well, the first thing when you hear a sermon is, what lesson does this teach you? What does this teach you? Now, the second thing is, what is it correcting? Now, of course, the Deeper Life will say, what sin is it correcting? Now, there's a heavy responsibility to understand what sin is, but let's leave that out. What is it correcting? What area of my life is this correcting? Then thirdly, what is the instruction I'm taking away? That is, what are the action points? So I'm able to take a hold of what I heard now and apply tomorrow morning at the office or at the home this evening or in my neighborhood. That is, this is action point. This is what I'm going to do with this now. And that's how we can act on the word when you're able to bring it on. So I usually say that doctrine and practice work together. All right, you must have, when I say doctrine and practice, I mean theology, and then the practice of it. What am I doing with this? Right? What? I remember I went for a conference called Evangelical Conference. So I was talking about evangelism. So the first person came and told us how our hearts must burn with fire for evangelism. So they heard that. Second person came. I think I was a fourth speaker. And said, you know, this is the heart cry of God. The heartbeat of the head of the church. Everybody started praying again. Lord, Lord, Lord. I think the third person talked about, do you have burden for souls? Because I remember I asked this question. Anybody here who doesn't have burden for souls? Nobody raised their hand. They did one or two tests. Then eventually everybody raised their hands. They didn't have any burden. By the time he wrote down what it means to have burden for souls, all hands just went up. I don't have burden for souls. So when it got to my point, I thought we had gotten enough information. I said, right now, we're going for evangelism. Isn't that the right thing to do? Not evangelism is the outthrust of the inward release of the power that goes to the world. The evangelism is like... The first time I went for evangelism was the day I got born again. I couldn't even spell it. He was like, yeah, let's go. I went there. Somebody asked me a question. The person, interestingly, is in Ukraine. He said, you say this oftentimes. What is Oya? I think it's in many teachings now. I don't know. I said, Oya. I said, you're lucky now. I said, earlier on, I used to speak a lot of Yoruba in our teachings. I said, wow. I said, I was wondering whether I was one of these Greek words. Yeah, it's okay. Oh yeah, let's go. All right. So I took them out. Let's go. And everybody, now, imagine after a prayer conference, we all go home and say, it's good to pray. Where? So the practice and doctrine work together, which means that you need to see it that way. You act on it. So I was asking them, what's the action point? You know, I asked some folks a question. And they talked about everything. I'm talking about married couples. And I'm asking them, what did you learn? And both of them, husband and wife, didn't talk about either the husband or the wife. I said, when you get home, you have to apply it. Now, you are guessing. Who is that supposed to be? Pastor Jakes? Pastor Lance? I know your head is running out. That's how you will not act on the word of God. Your mind is going to where it should not go to. Hallelujah. You should be asking yourself, did I apply it to my life? Some of you say, I just apply it to all my relationships. Are you God? That I have all relationships. So you must be able to bring that home. So discipleship means, okay, like we said, you have to be a child, you know. And so I told you the other day, I said, anybody can look humble when you have nothing to be proud of. You get it? Nothing to... You know, someone say, well, I have self-control. Let's see when you have enough money to sponsor Lost. Then I'll check your self-control. Or you have money to do all you can do. You can be humble when you are young. Because you're already humble by age. You're already Greek people. You prostrate, you kneel down if you're African, or you do something cutsy. We create in cutsy in Africa. You could bow, you could do stuff, depends on what culture you belong to. But now you are made the governor of your state. And then you have this elder cousin of yours. And he says, of course, he should respect himself too, not publicly. But he says, Shegu, and he say, how are you? He says, governor. Then I know whether you're humble or not. Now you're a pastor, you have, so when there's some folks and they in ministry, they're like, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, and are waiting. When you get on television, and then everybody's talking about you, let's see. Praise the Lord. There's one brother like that, very humble, I thought. I don't know whether you know this thing about, okay, don't let me, it's too early to say this one. So when he started getting some glories and honor and majesty, there was one video I posted about one guy who was, greeting me in the 80s, 90s, exactly. That's how the guy changed though. This one was the same person. He just changed, with time. Because now people were calling him, I was so blessed by you. You know, when you are still doing follow-up, but now you have a congregation say, I was so blessed. In fact, my destiny is tied to your ministry. Your head begins to swell. And you are going, I remember one time, I had just had this miracle service. My head was swelling. I knew it. Because I felt it in the bus. So when I got home and my father asked me a question and we had this altercation, and the point was, it was wrong, but I was wronger. I love my grandma. The way I looked at him, I still look at that look till now. Why did I look at him like that? I looked at him like, who do you think? Now, I didn't say it. I knew what I was saying in my heart. Who do you think? I just healed a blind eye. Look at this guy. He's even having glasses. You know, I felt that. Okay, let me add one more that I said in my heart. I'll just give you what I took from that. That's pride. Praise the Lord. That's pride. So, you know, so we said that you have to act like a child. Let me show you something. Acts 20. An important emphasis is somewhere here. Acts 21. Verse 16. They went into also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, look at something critical here, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple. This is a contrast. An old disciple. Which means there are two things that this old could, because the Greek word is not certain. But it refers to advancement in years and experience. So, old could mean old in the sense of is advanced in age, yet is a disciple, or he has been a disciple for a long time. Either way, it shows character. Alright? Whether it's by age that is old, or by being a disciple is old, it's by character. So, the character of a disciple is a consistent one. Is that clear? So this is an example. Mark's Gospel 16, let's run quickly, and 15. Then he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, he that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out demons, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and the vicar dead shall not hurt them, they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Verse 19, soon after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was lifted into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them to size there, and confirming the word with signs following. Again, we've said that the word gospel refers to two things. Let me just say that quickly. It refers to a king and a kingdom, and also refers to territories. That word, the use of the word gospel, means that God is interested, or let's say his pursuit is about the earth. It's about territories, areas, because the word gospel, hewagelion in the Greek, which is from the word basar in the Hebrew, B-A-S-A-R, implies territories. So literally when it says go into all the world and preach the gospel, is the synonymous term with the gospel. A place. Or make disciples of every nation, ethnos. It's what flows with the word gospel. Means people in places. So which means that my location gives me God's calling and posses. My location, I'm seeing myself in this location and they say, the gospel is about places. Okay? So the gospel is about places and I find myself in a place, I don't have to ask questions. Because the will of God for this place is the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is about places. Basar. It's about places. Men and places. Or men in places. So what is the will of God for me in Nigeria? The gospel. What is the will of God for me? The moment I say, what is the will of God for me in Lagos? Basar. What's the will of God for me in America? Basar. What's the will of God for me in Iraq? Basar. What's the will of God for me in Tanzania? Basar. Because basar is about places. That means gospel is the will of God for the earth. Is that clear? Gospel, which is a king coming, or a king's activity, or a king's dominion, or a king's exploits and influence. It's the will of God for us everywhere we are. So gospel is a message, right? It's also the will of God. That's why Isaiah spoke about mountains in Isaiah 11, 9 and 10. Hills and mountains. In Isaiah 52 and 7, and the beautiful of, are beautiful upon the mountains. Isaiah 57, referring to the earth, alright? Then, of course, if you back up a bit, Isaiah 2, the mountain of the Lord shall be exalted above all mountains, and all nations shall flow in. So, by using mountains, which we started at the beginning of this series, mountains refers to God's sacred place in the earth. So, gospel, therefore, is the will of God for wherever I am. So it becomes strange for a Christian to find himself somewhere and he's trying to look for a church. Now, find is good to look for believers, where to fellowship, and all that. But the moment you find yourself with no local assembly or gathering of believers, you don't have to ask questions. If you are well taught the word of God, you should know that the gospel is the will of God there. Alright? And the gospel is the will of God for you there. What's that? Luke's Gospel 24. Let's move quickly. I'm coming back to this one shortly because it's a question I want to answer here. One of the things that the teaching of God's word does, it dissolves doubts and answers questions. So, a format by which you should prepare your teaching, I know you now teach, amen? I know some of you have been called pastor by now. Okay, what was I trying to say? Before you confuse me. I'm not confused. Huh? What? Format of sermon. Okay, I get that. Thank you, Father. So, you know, one of the ways to prepare a format in teaching is to do a question and answer. What question are you answering? Right? So you must answer questions. Dissolve doubts. Because like I taught you the other time, many of the epistles are responses to questions. So you have questions. And just like the Bible itself is set up in to answer questions. Psalm 78. Alright? Where he says that, I open up my mouth, and utter dark sayings as of old, from the foundation of the earth. Now, dark sayings refers to basically what you have the word chida in Hebrew, and parables, chida, and just to answer questions. So the Bible, therefore, is also, when I say, what's the theology of the Bible? The theology of the Bible is also answering questions. So in your sermons, as you teach, also prepare questions. You have questions you are answering. There are those you answer by your sermon notes. There are those as you teach, it will be prompted in your heart. So just look at one area, alright? Of course you knew that fact before you got on the pulpit, but then your heart just stirs there. That doesn't happen oftentimes, but it does happen. And then you're able to answer the question. So Luke 24 quickly. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. To expound there are many in the Greek. It means to interpret, to give the meaning. So we said, Jesus did not innovate theology. Jesus didn't see anything. So that means the dichotomy often given between the Old and New Testament was not made by Jesus. He didn't change the Old Testament books. Rather, he interpreted them. The interpretation is what we have in the epistles. Now, let me say this quickly. The proper interpretation of the Old Testament books did not start with Jesus. All right, let me say that again, make it clear. The proper interpretation of the Old Testament books didn't start with Jesus. Rather, it was reinforced and reaffirmed by Jesus. That's why Paul will say, I'm not saying any other thing, Acts 26 verse 22, than that which Moses and the prophets say should come. Okay? Believe thou the law and the prophets, then I know that you believe. So this is clear that that's all Jesus is doing here, doing a diamenio. Verse 44, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened you the understanding that they might understand. Suniemi. Which we said means the ability to read the scriptures together. We're going to come to that in a moment. To read the scriptures together. Such a thing as having an entire view of God's word. Having a proper view of God's word. Reading everything together. So which means that a Christian mustn't have, a Christian student of God's word, theology though, a Christian mustn't have a tilted, shall I say, jaundiced view of scripture such that he has favorite parts of the Bible and he ignores others. The Christian shouldn't have that. He must be able to have what is the suniemi of scripture. Someone asked me a question on Monday, and his question was, he had read this gospel and then he was reading something with sovereignty. He said, when God discussed, we didn't get it clear enough, though he understood what was written there. We talked about forgiveness of sins. And one of the things that need to be very clear, and I said this last week when we were doing the series on Joshua and Judges, that we'll need to be very clear on the sacrifice of Jesus. And we sing it well, it's biblical. The sacrifice of Jesus and forgiveness of sins. And we said in the materials, and I've said it over the years, that the concept of sacrifice for sins is not in Genesis. That is, to do an offering because of sin is not in Genesis. Now, not just that, we also saw that is, you gave a sacrifice for sins and God because of that forgave. And then we said also that when you get to the Exodus story, through to Deuteronomy, it's still not that. Now, there's a connection between sacrifice and sin, no doubt, but the concept of sacrifices that was done from Abel, alright, in fact, from Abel, which was like a priestly offering, and an offering of a shepherd, and then we look into Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we didn't find anything. Abraham, Noah, Isaac, and Jacob. We won't find any incidents where, oh God, have committed a sin. Let me offer an offering. No. That didn't show up. Even in the Exodus, right, the concept of offerings or sacrifices came much later. And God was already said to be forgiving, all compassionate, Exodus 34 and 6. So the questions that, of course, we answered in that book is, did Jesus' death satisfy the requirements of the law for sins? And we said, no. Oh, he was talking about, well, animals were used, etc., etc. Jesus is now to replace the animals. No. And so, like I said last week, if you observe it, right of Hebrews, by the time he got to Hebrews 13, verse 15 and 16, now calls it the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, and then he mentions our good deeds being the sacrifices. In Romans 12, 1 and 2 and 3, also talks about ministry being the living sacrifice. So which means we need to get that theology right. Because the concept of thinking that Jesus is blood, and of course we have sorted out the word atonement, what it really means. Okay? So we must know what the sacrifice of sins, what did the blood do? Or else we might be importing, I must mention this very well, we might be importing what I can call idolatry practices in our theology. That the blood of Jesus Christ bring forgiveness of sins. Yes, how? So that's suniemi. You know, why I said this was, now this is already in our materials. I know that. If you've been reading them, you see them there. And also in the teachings we've done last couple of years. Now, why did I say that? So that you have a suniemi. I said that because I said if you start from Genesis, if you're not careful, you'll see a disconnect in the use of sacrifices. You'll see a disconnect. Because much later, you will discover that what Jesus did on the cross now is being used as an example of Christian living. Take up your cross, follow me. Do this also to your brethren. And Paul is going to talk about selfishness in the church in Corinth. He goes to the Passover. And I'm wondering, Passover? And the disconnect also comes in when he says, and I mentioned this on Sunday, let me go back to that. And I said on Sunday, when I talk about the flow of the Spirit. And I use the 1 Corinthians, 1 Timothy 3:15, that thou mayest know how you ought to behave. Which means there's a way you behave in church, you don't behave elsewhere. It doesn't mean you should misbehave elsewhere, but there's just a way you behave in church. And I said, Paul told them 1 Corinthians 11, and he said, if you have, okay, and those who don't have. So church is not where you show off what you have. So we said, Paul says, those who have are now full. Those who don't have now go home hungry. Then he says, when you do that, you are eating condemnation to yourself. When you show off. Then he says, you know, and then Paul says, he says, I give you that was delivered unto me, the Lord Jesus Christ, the night that he was betrayed. Now look at that connection. He's saying, be sacrificial, give to others, make sure you're generous. Then he uses the Passover as the narrative. Now he says that when you come together, the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and he says, this is my body broken for you, you know, and he says, the cup, my blood shed for your sins, and he says, as often as you eat this bread and drink, take of this cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes. Notice that and the word show there in the Greek is the same word used for preaching. So which means that the connection there that Paul uses there is not your sins are forgiven, they're redeemed. It's more like this is how your lifestyle should be. So the life of Jesus in the four gospels should not just be from the day he was born. We just aim for the cross and then he died for our sins and he's gone. No. His life is from the womb to the cross and the resurrection. He lives a servant life. He lives an exemplary life. So the cross itself is an example. Going to the cross. So the connection must be well made so that we do not isolate the fact that he went to the cross almost like he's paying a debt through his death to who? To God. Why? Those are issues that reading the scriptures together will solve. So that's a suinemi. Read everything together. Many times you don't contradict. They are only what you can call further explanations of something. And we must be well attuned to that. Now, like I used to say, one of the challenges sometimes of learning the word is you oftentimes are more fixated on the first things you learned. You're oftentimes so fixated on that. The first things you learned, and you know, particularly the songs that got your attention the most. We could never repay you. For the grace that you know, that's not what I'm saying. What's that song? That's Grace song. That one that you know I sing. Huh? I see grace, the sacrifice, I see love. So when you hear that, of course, that got your heart. The first thing on your mind is, oh God, you did so much for me. And you say, I cannot even repay it. He has not asked you to repay it. He has asked you to do it for others. So don't repay, okay? Keep your money. He has asked you that. Hereby we perceive the love of God, right? Can you see the motive? He laid down his life, so we ought to. Now, I'm going to pick up, you know, before we did this series, we were doing a teaching on the work of the Spirit, right? And we said that living right has nothing to do with earning a spot in heaven when you die, right? That living right is for this earth. Is that clear? It's what God, if God, for example, if you're walking in the Spirit and you forgive, you have self-control, all right? And you have long suffering. It's not that after you have now finished suffering long, you are running, you say, I'm so far long ago. I'm gentle. They get to the breast and say, am I done now? See, then it gives you a trophy for it. Then from there, you are free. Then you just collect salvation too. So now you are free. You've tried. You lived your Christian life 60 years. You suffered long. You were gentle. You were patient. Thank you, Jesus. So he gives you the crown. Okay. And you say, yeah. Sit down. No? That is your eternal character. So get ready to do it for the rest of your life and the life after. Is that clear? Alright, we'll get to that later on. So that's it. Reading scriptures together. Sui Nehemi. John 20. Learning something? John 20 and 21. Then said Jesus to them, saying, peace unto you, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. When he said, he breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. We saw something about methods of reading scripture. One said you can know by grammar. Can you remember that? I know you were not there. The way you just answer. Yes, Pastor. Yeah. Okay, 23. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retains, they are retained. We said God gave us his Spirit so we can be his partners in the earth. Okay, he's the one that forgives sins. Exodus 34 verse 6. Isaiah 43:25, Psalm 103 verse 3, Micah 7:18. It's God who forgives sins. So when he asks you to forgive, that's why I said to us that when you are living in unforgiveness, you have done two things. Okay? Or let's say revenge. One is the fact that unforgiveness is a sin. Secondly, you are proud. Because really, the person offended God. You are only an agent. I asked you, right? It's like, I gave you something, I said, go and deliver this message. And I put something in an envelope, and I say, go and deliver this message. What is in this message is $100,000. That sounds cool. Some of you have already done the exchange. If that's how we think in Nigeria. When you hear $1 million, times. So, they give you, go and give it to that fellow, and then you get there. Say, eh? You owe the $100,000. Chelsea fan? And you go, you know, yesterday was the first time in a long time that I watched a Nigerian game from beginning to the end. A long time. I think the last time I watched one was 2006. I'd not be half of them. Because in 94, that was when I started warning myself. There was a year I fell sick, 1988 or so. I fell sick 1 week because Nigeria lost again. I mean, I didn't go to school. He said, what, why is he ill? Because Nigeria lost again. In 1987, Chile 87, by Etimesin and all that, I felt very ill that I had this thing in my mouth. Because I said, 3-0. So 94 was now the high point. That 2-1, Baggio. I went to watch in a friend's house at Uriwusan. Because that's the way to enjoy. You know, football, you enjoy with the college of... Yes! If you're watching it alone, if you're actually watching football, we should check your character. There's something wrong with you. Do you understand? Like a friend of mine said, and I laughed and laughed. He said, it's Ileya time. If nobody has brought Ileya to your house, it means you are not a good neighbor. It's not about doctrine. You are not a good person. Nobody knocked your house and brought meat. I'm going to ask you later in the year. So that 94 was interesting. You know, we scored first. So I was already saying, we're meeting Brazil in the final. You know, Nigeria is always meeting Brazil in the final. We're meeting Brazil in the final. We're going to... No, I think I watched Atlanta 96 too. Beginning to the end. I think that was the last one. From that 98 that we're meeting Brazil also. That Denmark gave us a... I watched that one, but I was on that one. My heart was already gone. I just said, whatever. You started meeting Brazil again. But that 94 was bad. I was walking and I was thinking about my life over Nigeria's game. So yesterday was the first time I was really into it. And I told my friend in Ghana, I said, I'd abuse him. I said, you, Black Stars. What? He said, Star is supposed to be white, you are black. I said all sorts of things. So he was not calling me after the game. He said, Pastor Chris, I just want to ask a question. I said, if you ask a non-Bible question, yeah, I will curse you. So I said, And you know, it was now, the only thing there is that the person who scored. Oh, you didn't get that part, you know. How did I get here, I beg? Okay, you forgive. So God gives you $100,000. You say, then you know some old classmates that took your boyfriend. That thing can hurt them. They are lying. Anytime when I think walking in love, that's what I'm thinking about. I walk in love. Oh, somebody. They give $100,000. I say, no. This person does not deserve it. No. Until I see, is it your money? The forgiveness is not your own. It's God's own. You have to kala give it. Kala in Yoruba means kala. It means you have to just do it. It is God's money. Is that clear? I told you to give someone money, you say, it's too much. Is a screw missing in your head? Is my money now? I know, sir. That guy. Is God saying, you know? Is that clear? Your own is to just give it. That's why it says, forgive one another as God has forgiven you. Is that clear? So that's, notice that every time that Jesus talks about forgiveness of sins, he's always saying that you also were forgiven. So you are not a lesser debtor than those you are giving, you are forgiving. Don't say, some of you think that you are not a hypocrite. You're not like the Pharisee, who said, I'm not like this person. You know, that's a thinking, like, I'm not like that person. You know that. But forgiveness is not yours. It's not yours to give, right? It's yours to obey and give. You are obeying God. Is that clear? Don't say, I'm only forgiving you because God said, that's not forgiveness. You will let go. So that's why he gave us his spirit so we can partner with him in the earth. Okay, now let's go to what the subject for today, and that's the inward witness. Now somebody did ask a question. I remember that, it's an old question actually, but because I was asked recently about last month, it's a very old question. I remember one time like that myself and friends, we're doing a study on the book, How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God by Kenneth Hagin. And then somebody now said that interestingly, we're talking about the inward witness then. As someone said, interestingly, the human witness that we practically have just one verse, Romans 8:16. The Spirit bears witness as we are children of God. And interestingly, and it's such a very loud subject. So we now began to ask questions. I remember that day that the only way we came out of it was something like 96 or 5. The only thing that got us out that day was we looked at the book of Acts and said, well, it's so dominant in the book of Acts, you know, but we don't find it much in the epistles. Now, later on, another person asked me a question. This was in 2005 or 6, and said, we are not Sciences Community Church then. And this person said, how come there's nothing in the New Testament, the epistles now, that talks about God speaking to us? Because you won't find it and hear the voice of the Lord. You won't find such phrases in the epistles. Who's following what I'm saying? Yet, if you engage people who, you know, kind of feel that we charismatic we defy the New Testament. They say, where is the New Testament that God is going to talk to you? And you have people that say, no, God doesn't talk again. Now, people even say it often, God doesn't talk to anybody again. That all he has to say is in the scriptures. Okay? That looks nice. But sometimes, in trying to curtail an excess, you may be bringing another problem. So what legitimizes the fact that I can hear from God? Now, it will be very sad if all you have is your experience. I know God speaks to me. That's not sufficient. Okay? So, that question, where do we have, of course, if you follow the Romans 8:14-16 pattern, you notice that the leading there, and I've said that for years, the word agor is not exactly just about giving you guidance. I mentioned that years ago, that it was more of a redemptive terminology. Okay? If you have listened to our series on leading of the Spirit for at least the last 15 years, you'll have heard what I said now. Now, the truth is, this is where our interpretation of scripture must be very, very critical. You won't see such things that God spoke. You know? In fact, let me mention this. Even when you come to the epistles, the Spirit speaking, there's only one clear place, or let's say two places, where you will have the Spirit speaking. Paul, alright, and 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall. Now, that's nothing personal. Okay, this is, in fact, if anything at all, this more links to referring to scriptures of the Old Testament as Spirit speaking. Now, you also have Hebrews, which again refers to the gospel. Hebrews 3:7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. And that refers to Psalm 95, verse 7. So, you won't have any other references to God speaking. Okay, Hebrews 1. In fact, Hebrews 1 can be a counterproductive one. God who has sundry times in diverse manners spoken in time. But I've been somewhere where someone used that scripture to say that God doesn't lead anybody again, it's just the word. Say he spoke in time past by the prophets. But in this last days, he has spoken in his son, that he has given us his final word. And then you have things like, the word is not working, the word has worked, which is true, but the worked word is still working. Amen. The word has worked. And you know, you have, and I know that some of those things are said, to counter the narrative of those who defy the written word. Like, the word no more. You know, the word no more. Sometimes those statements will downplay the active ministry of the Spirit. That's why in our book, His Sovereignty, we did say that the five solas, sola scriptura, sola scriptura, it looks okay until you examine the meanings. The meaning sometimes of sola scriptura means just the scriptures, there's no supernatural leading, no supernatural experiences, and all that. That is eventually the end point of that statement if you are not careful. And so, it's good to, you know, like I like to say oftentimes, don't read scriptures through the lenses of anybody's or any movement or any revival or any particular emphasis. Read scriptures the way it is, alright, in his own world. In fact, sometimes the Christocentric interpretation of which I subscribe to can become counterproductive. Alright, that's why we said that Christ, as the expression of all things, is a good way to start to understand scripture, but you can't continue that way. We said Christology, therefore, becomes the eventual conclusion of the events of scripture, not the immediate narrative. We've done that study over and over. So just like what I'm saying now, you begin to hear, oh, it's just the word, it's just the word. If you're not careful, and I'll tell you the history of sola scriptura and the same statements like that, is like I've also mentioned, that when the Roman Catholic Church, which, you know, is the farthest when it comes to history in the world as the church, began to say things like the words of the Pope are just as scripture, the words of the priests, the Catholic leaders. And so those who countered that narrative were reaffirming the integrity of scripture by using the solas and saying, no, scriptures only. And the reason for that was their immediate challenges. If you're not careful, you'll be applying a drug to a disease that doesn't exist. So you'll now be saying, before you know it, that's the implication. So it's just the same way that, you know, if those who, and I'm saying this because I will take some time on this, those who say, well, you didn't do anything to be a sinner. Eh? So to become righteous, you don't have to do anything. The implication is everybody is saved. So that sin nature is passed to all of us. Righteousness is passed to all of us. Then you just entry, delete, re-enter, and we are fine. Bad theology. So we must therefore not use statements that will eventually contradict. So why did I say all this? So that when you are reading scriptures, that's why I took us through the things in the Old Testament. When you are reading scriptures, you find out, you know, that this is talking about the leading of the Spirit. But if you are not well taught, you will not know that's what it's talking about. So this therefore brings in our studies of the codified language. Remember that? Now, which means the codified language, we said, is when a book seeks to interpret another book, rather than quote it wholesale, it uses short phrases. Short phrases, paragraphs, that will lead you back to stories, experiences, and narratives. So, that means, you know, last time, when we were doing, at the beginning of this series, we said that God always leads his people. And we saw that in the Exodus, the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, and we saw that he also had the angel, Exodus 30, we're going to come to that in a moment. And we had Moses, right? We had the priest. So we had all those diverse ways that he did it. Now, did you also notice that in the book of Acts, there was not one stream of leading? Are we here? Are you following what I'm saying? There was not one stream. Now, the book of Acts is that way because he's talking about experiences. So readily you will see that the book of Acts leading is almost similar to the Old Testament. They heard the voice. They saw, right? Prophecies. Inward witness. Then James said, when you take that to the Exodus, you will see that it matches one for one. Who's following what I'm saying here? But when you now get to the epistles, it's almost like, just do the word. And the truth is that what is loudest in the epistles is the leading of the pastor. The epistles is actually louder, well, I'm going to say that in a moment, on the leading, because the fact that he's even writing to them and telling them what to do is leading of the Spirit. It's louder there. But within the teaching, if we understand the codified language of scripture, we can go back. Don't forget we said that the New Testament is understood by reading the Old Testament. So when you go in, the meaning of those statements becomes clearer. Romans 8:14. Are you following? Come on, guys, are you following? Remember the question I said. I said, how would you know that this statement is talking about the leading of the Spirit? In the same way that when we studied, we said, you know, we move from Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is talking about, we've done that study over the years. It's talking about sin. Alright? And God's forgiveness. So we now said that in Isaiah, that we now have, what is God's evidence, proof of that forgiveness? That the closest is divine healing. So in our study, we now said that any scripture that speaks about salvation and forgiveness is a healing scripture. And how did you come to that conclusion? By properly studying why healing is a sign. Who's following what I'm saying tonight? Let me see how I can do. Are you doing? Okay, very good. So now, in this concept of leading, how do I know? Now, let me tell you what clearly comes to your mind. We're not in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. God does not do this again. Why? God does not do what? Well, God does not lead us by men. Well, it depends on what you mean, because the epistles were written by men. Oh yeah, yeah. God doesn't lead us by angels. Well, in the book of Acts, angels led them. Well, he doesn't lead us by spectacular things. Well, they were led in the book of Acts by spectacular things. Well, it's only in the New Testament that we're led by a voice. No, they were led by a voice in the Old Testament. Okay, so which means that all you need to know to do is to understand it and study it effectively. Who's following what I'm saying here? Now, so we are going to pay attention to words that codify Old Testament theology. Is that clear? Is that very clear? There are words that codify it. That the moment you see those words, the stories in those words, right, are about divine direction. Look at Romans 8:14. As many as are led, agor. Agor is the Greek. But if you take the Septuagint, and you read the Septuagint, the Bible that Paul and Jesus used, one of the translations, sorry, that they use, you see that word led, Deuteronomy 32, we've seen it before, and verse 10, 11, and 12. And it says, like an eagle, protect his nest, he longed for his long, spread his wings, he received them, he took them up on his back. Took them up. Agor is the Greek. Deuteronomy 32:11. The Lord alone was carrying them. Now, agor, A-G-O, is the Greek here. It means to carry. Now, the question is that is about their journey from Egypt, right? Through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, to the promised land. Now, did God lead them? Huh? Did he guide them? Did he save them? Uh-huh. Were they his sons? Yes. As many as are led, just like the Exodus, they are the sons of God. So this statement is valid, is a validation of the fact that this is also talking about guidance. Now, in that leading of the Spirit, in Romans 8:14, okay, did God also use his servants? Huh? Spectacular experiences. Angels. Of course, I told you, angel is not a particular being. It just means God's people, beings that God is sending on a mission. Galatians 5:18 has that. Now, let's use that other words too that are codified. Redeemed. Is redeemed Exodus? Huh? Yeah. So, they are redeemed. Exodus 6:6-8. Alright? Redeem you. That redemption to buy back also has leading. So every time you see redemption, of course there are different words on that in the epistles, you see redemption, right? When I say redemption in his blood, redemption carries with it divine direction. Because redemption is the story of Egypt through to Canaan. And that is the leading of God. Even the word saved, Yasha, Hebrew, Sozo, Soteria, Greek. Those are words that are not about just one experience. It deals with multiple experiences. So salvation texts are divine leading texts. Redemption words are divine leading words. They are codified. They codify a wholesome or a wholesale of experiences. What about baptized? Close, right? Huh? Baptized is a Red Sea experience. Huh? Come on. Jordan? Huh? So even baptized. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. So if in the Exodus, God led, alright, he was behind it. Look at Exodus 14. I'll show you something else later. So don't be looking for leading like that in the epistles. The moment you read Exodus terms, leading is part and parcel of what you are reading. Exodus 14. Look at verse 20. I'll start from 19. An angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Can you see? Before and behind. It came in between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud and darkness to them, but gave light by night. Can you see it? Huh? Can you see Exodus 14? Verse 20. Gave light. So, is behind, is ahead. Is that guidance? Is this redemption? Salvation? Adoption of sons? Yeah. So, those words are words of divine and supernatural direction. So, which means that I can read the entire Bible. Since the entire Bible is in a redemption theology, I can read the entire Bible as a book of God's leading. So, leading of the Spirit is not a specific part of the Bible. It's the entire plan of God unveiled in Scripture. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying here. Now, if you follow the codified language method of interpretation, this becomes clear. Because the redemption motif is a background of Scripture. When God called Abraham to go to a land, is that leading? Huh? Exactly. That's a leading of the Spirit. So, which means that every instruction of Scripture is a leading of the Spirit. Every instruction to do God's will is a leading of the Spirit. So, now let's see something. Now, what else can I look out for? When I see the word Spirit, pneuma, alright, pneuma, which in the Old Testament, I didn't even add this, agor and the word rakaf, okay, R-A-C-H-A-P-H, that's the Hebrew of the word agor. So when I see Spirit, Old Testament, ruach, New Testament, pneuma, the Spirit, of course, like TJ said those days, that Paul's theology is pneumatology. Paul had a lot of spirit. When you go to the Old Testament, you will hardly find the word spirit, pneuma, or ruach, sorry, in the Old Testament is not as loud as the epistles. So it gave some people a view that, well, the word spirit is more seen in the New Testament. No. The word spirit is codified. Because when you say spirit or the word spiritual, don't forget the Old Testament is largely set, we said here, in a supernatural world. So the phrases you are seeing are supernatural phrases. Now, I said that to say this. Look at the issue of redemption. Look at Exodus. You learning something? So, to know how God leads, can I read the whole Bible? Yes. But I must be able to interpret it. Exodus 23. Behold, I send my angel, better in the Hebrew, before you. Leading? Is that leading? To keep you in the way, to bring you to the place which I have prepared. Leading? Beware of him, obey his voice, provoke him not, for he will not pardon the transgressions, for my name is in him. Now, when we say name, you know, in the Hebrew, we said name, which is the word Shem, or Shem, it actually means to show character, to reveal, or there are two words, to show character, and also to call a name, you know, to call. It's God, let there be light, there was light. He saw the light, and it was good. And he called the light day. He called the light day. So, calling is to describe character. So, when God says, my name is in him, we've seen that. It means I am in him, or I am the one. Okay? So, we have seen that this is the leading of the Spirit. Now, look at Psalm 74. So when New Testament writers are speaking and writing, they are writing words in Greek that explain words in the Hebrew. Is that clear? They are also writing phrases that summarize or codifies experiences in the Old Testament. Psalm 74. What am I saying? Psalm 78. Verse 40. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Is that what we just read? Huh? Is that what we just read now? Come on, is that what we just read? We're reading the same story. We can read verse 35 too. They remembered that God was their rock, the high God was their redeemer. Now look at verse 40. 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Okay? Verse 56. Yea, they tempted God and provoked the Most High and kept not his testimony. What about read in Exodus 23? He said, provoke him not. Can you remember? So, whoever was being referred to is God. Does it make sense? Now, go to Isaiah 63. Isaiah is a later interpreter. Now, we said that when you read Isaiah, Isaiah is also interpreting the Psalms, right? Come on, church. Aha. The Psalms, the Torah, and all that. So look at Isaiah 63, what it says here. And don't forget, Paul also said, grieve not the Spirit, right? Same word, lupio. Grieve not the Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Ghost. Grieve not the angel. Same thing. Isaiah 63. I'll read verse 7. I'll mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praise of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he had bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. He says, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their savior. Look at 9. In all the affliction, he was afflicted. The angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them and bore them and agor. Can you see it? Can you see it? That's carried them, agor, all the days of old. But they, what, 10? Rebel and vex his. Can you see it? So Paul took that grieve not the Holy Spirit from the Exodus story. Are you following? Aha. So that means when we say the Spirit, we are reading of God leading in the Exodus. Because the term angel of the Lord, or God being called an angel, came from Jacob as well. Angel is not a particular being. Angel is a job description. Angel simply means to describe an activity. If I want to take a message myself, if I send someone to do something for me, it becomes an angel because I'm sending it. If I go with the message myself, you also describe me as an angel because I'm carrying a message. So in Genesis 48 and 15, he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham, Isaac did walk, God which fed me all my life long unto this day. Now, notice this one. The word fed there is the word pastor. I'm going to that shortly. Is the word pastorah, to feed. The Lord is my shepherd, which fed me. You know, he's not talking about giving food. What he's saying here is he led me. Because when you say shepherd, shepherd leads the flock. He led me all my life long. This is Joseph. Then he says in 16, the angel that redeemed me, Malak, God that redeemed me. So when we read words like this, Malak, right, Agor, to lead, that's the leading of the Spirit. Also, when we say shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, Hebrews 13:20. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David is not talking about money. Okay? He led me. Is that clear? Psalm 23. Psalm 80 verse 1 now calls God the shepherd. So the Lord is my shepherd is a leading scripture. Is that clear? Is that clear? Which means I can affirm today the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he's talking about direction. Amen. Direction. That's why I said, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord, which is another similar window for speaking about the tabernacle, the temple of the Lord forever. Psalm 80, I take that back, and verse 1, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou leads Joseph like a flock. So shepherd is one who leads. So every time I see God as shepherd, is leading. So the whole Bible is set up in the context of God leading us. So let's break it down. He's walking through us, walking with us, walking in us to fulfill his purpose on earth. The leading of the Spirit is walking with us, walking through us to fulfill his purpose on earth. So, are there instructions in the epistles about God's voice? Yes, where I read about the Spirit, redemption, as our shepherd, I'm reading the leading of the Spirit. Why? Because the epistles are written in a codified language. Does it make sense? So which means the narratives of those words are found in the Old Testament stories. So this takes us into what we're teaching or saying, talk about the inheritance. And we said the inheritance, Romans 8, let's just hear that quickly. So when I see text, let me just show you a few. When I see text like Exodus, I'm reading, look at Psalm 32. And verse 8. I'll start from 7. Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. You are my hiding place, you always fill my mouth with songs of deliverance. Now verse 8. Now it says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way. Is that Exodus? In the way which thou shalt go, I will guide you with my eye. Is that Exodus? I will guide you with my eye. So I take that and say, well, God is guiding me with his eye. Alright? He is instructing me in the way that I should go. Look at 9. Be ye not as a horse or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with the bit and bridle, lest they come near unto you. Which means that in this world we are not without control. That's the right word. We are with control. One of the proofs of our salvation, our Exodus, one of the proofs of our redemption is that we are being led. We are being led by God. So the Exodus stories is a preview, a prelude to the church story. It's about his inheritance. It's about what he has given. It's about giving us an inheritance, a part. Don't forget, inheritance is not claiming property. No, sorry, claiming material wealth. Inheritance means to give you a lot, to give you a part. So, which means, if inheritance, look at Romans 8, is why he leads us, I therefore must pay attention to the leading of the Spirit to know God's part that I should play in the earth today. Romans 8. I'll just read verse 16. I'll start from 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, hereby you cry, Abba Father. All Exodus motif? Huh? Is it Exodus motif? Okay, 16. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Was that a proof to them? Huh? Did the Spirit distinguish them from Egypt? We read it now. Uh-huh. Behind and before, okay. That we are children of God. Now look at it. If children then heirs, were they heirs? Called to inherit the land, okay? Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be you suffer together, we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified. Glorified is tabernacle language. Glorified, that is, he will build us together as his home and his house in the earth. So, This is definitely about divine leading. So God, just like He walks in the tabernacle, He walks in us. Leviticus 26 and 12, Genesis 3, 8. He walks in us. We are His temple. Okay, that's again, add that too. Temple, tabernacle is also leading. Temple, tabernacle is also about God's leading. That's why the Proverbs says, the spirit of a man is the candle. Is that a temple? Candle of the Lord. Searching the inward parts. Proverbs 20 verse 27. So by using those phrases, it means that God leading me is about His own work. So let's run through quickly to the inward witness. So we said the inward witness is about being specific. Now, I must mention that, you know, we looked at the human and Tuvim, and we said that there were different ways, methods that God led. But when it came to specific things, specific, where a specific fact is in view. Now, there are revelations, visions. But where you have a specific fact, that was what happened in Acts 1. Of course, I mean, they dropped that style, that method, even though God honored it. When they had two people show up, meeting the qualification for filling up the space of Judas. Now, notice that Judas ministry, you know, being taken from him, was synonymous with land. Verse 20, or a place of dwelling. Let his habitation, Acts 1, be desolate. Let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric, let another take. Psalm 69, verse 25. Again, the writers of the epistles intend that we should just use the Old Testament, you know, about Christ's death and resurrection. Huh? Answer now. Does it form doctrine? Christian living? Yeah. Look at Psalm 69 and verse 25. Let their habitation be desolate. Let none dwell in their tents. Okay, this is promised land motif. Psalm 109, verse 8. Let his days be few, let another take his office. So which means that here, someone loses his place in the land. So when they saw that, two guys now fitted, just Matthias and Barsabbas. Okay? Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus. That's like a Nigerian, three names. Then Matthias. They now prayed and said, Thou Lord which knows the hearts of all, show which of these two men, you know, you have chosen. You know the hearts of everyone. So which of these two? So that's specific. So now when you go to the Old Testament, you discover that when it comes to specific things, it is not this, it is that. There are times you are led generally, but specific. They now use, we said, the Urim and Thummim, which was an old practice of the Eastern religion. God simply used it and then adapted it to what He wanted them to see. That is an Old Testament fact with an everlasting theology. So which means that while we are not going to practice it because it wasn't started by God, the theology behind it, just like the circumcision, we must understand it. Just like baptism. What is it for? Where does this come to play? where we have to take specific decisions. Is it Lagos or Ibadan? You can't say it's Lagos and Ibadan. It says it's going to be on the express. Well, people are there now. Do you understand? Is this, you can't say, well, and you know they were not stupid to think, well, since these two guys qualify, let's make it 13. They knew the significance of the Messiah having 12 disciples. So these are specific things. And there are times in our lives that it has to be specific. Like we normally say, it has to be bullseye. It's bullseye. And notice, this is oftentimes, when you go to Israel, you see that it either has to do with the kingdom, or a general issue, or it has to do with war. Specific. So let's see Numbers. Sorry, this Acts, they now prayed, which of these two? The lot now fell on Matthias. That's a human to me. The lot fell on Matthias. Let me show you briefly. This is important to note. They were in the temple. And that was why this was what they did. They were in the temple. Solomon's porch. By the next chapter, that is where they are found. So, we are not to use the human tomb anymore. If you do it, you just look at those who use Gideon's effort. No. But what was the point? It was the fact that there are times in God's leading, He is specific. That is not like, okay, well, the leading is very specific. It's not all the times. And this is different from having a vision. I was telling somebody earlier today, I said, a Peter, and this is something we have to be very careful of. Peter saw a vision. I was talking about visions. Who was I talking to? About visions. I don't remember. Just today I was talking about vision with someone, and I said, Peter had a vision. It would be funny to think that Peter was just ignorant. No. By Acts 10. Yeah, he may not have all the, but he was vast in the supernatural. And then Peter began to ask questions. What does this mean? That can happen to you and I. And we'll see, I'm trying to remember, see a vision. I had this conversation with someone today, just today. I was trying to say that the nature of visions sometimes could require you to be a bit patient. That there are things I saw years ago that it takes time, it's clearer. It takes, sometimes a vision, you can say a vision and it takes you 5-10 years. You know, because the visions oftentimes can be very broad. I will show him greater than that you suffer for my sake. I mean, at some point, Paul was wondering where he should go. So, it can happen like that. So, when it comes to these things, we need to be well taught. And like somebody, a friend said years ago, so when it comes to things like this, you don't use yesterday's knowledge. Many times, even when it comes to divine healing, all those basic things, divine healing, being led by the Spirit of God, even walking in love, those subjects require listening to it again and again and again and again. Don't think because you have definition, you are witness, is the witness of humans being born again, exposed to a fact, witnesses and acknowledges, and to fact exposed to a hallelujah, amen. So you just hold on to that. So you stop listening to the leading of the Spirit. I already know the definition. You are witness, you know the human spirit, born again. Oga, you don't pay attention very well. And you listen. And you spend time to really listen. And to really listen. Who was that? I'm just trying to find out. What was today? That I was saying that, was it yesterday? Talking about the fact that you can see things. And it will take you just a while, you know, to listen. To understand, sorry. Look at Numbers. Learning something? So in this instance, the human had to do with specific things. Numbers 26. Now they want to divide land. How do you divide land? Do you say, Reuben, choose what you like? I say, I know that the land is a motive for ministry. It's a motive for God's dwelling. That's actually how to understand the word gospel. And verse 53. Lord spake unto Moses, saying, 52, unto this the land shall be divided for inheritance according to the number of my names. To many thou shalt give more inheritance, and to few give less inheritance. To everyone shall inheritance. You know, we read inheritance earlier on in Romans 8. Be given to them according to the number of names. Now look at how we are supposed to do it. 55. Notwithstanding, the land shall be divided by lot according to the names of the tribe of their fathers. Yeah, that's by lot. Numbers 33 and 54. So you can replace that by and use the word inward witness. 54. Divide the land by lot for inheritance amongst your families. Okay? Then Joshua 11 and 23. Yeah. We read a couple of texts like that. Look at 1 Samuel 14. Here you are specific. This or that. Then said unto verse 40, all Israel, be ye on one side, and I, Jonathan, my son, will be on the other side. And the people said unto Saul, do what you seem good unto thee. Then Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, give a perfect lot. That's a Urim. And Jonathan and Saul were taken, and the people escaped. And Saul said, cast lot between me and Jonathan, my son. And Jonathan was taken. Leviticus 16. Where this is specific. Where God actually points to a particular fact. Leviticus 16. We read all this last week. Look at 7. Now this is about which goat will be the Lord's own, the other escaped goats. He says, and you shall take the two goats, verse 7, and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Do you notice that it's about two things? It's about being specific. Then he says, Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, the other lot for the scapegoats. And Aaron shall bring the goat which is upon the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for his sin offering. So you see that this is, which one will do this, one will do that. And that also is about ministry. Who will undo something in ministry? Who should go here? Who should go there? Now, of course, don't forget the first thing is that, like we said last week, we said they had a written word. Joseph's bones. Can you remember? Oh, no, that's weeks in. Joseph's bones, written word. The voice of the Lord, they had written word. So the written word, we go through the written word. So now when we go over the written word, we may have more than one person. Right? I know what's going on in your head is marriage. Praise the Lord. One person. Pastor, all these things you are saying, he's establishing a local church. He prays very well. He wins souls. He studies. Is this, let me say some other things we say. Is this one, he's very humble, submissive. He works for a living. He's been a Christian for years. Pastor, there are four brethren. So begin to do a little by substitution. Okay, two. Then, which one? You mean? That's the point here. Where you now have to be specific. I'm going, the Lord led you to, you can have a vision and you see India. Okay? What exactly? That's how somebody go and buy tickets and start going. And it's supposed to be just pray for India. So, it must be what exactly. That's why I told you that when you have believers meeting, you know, something can be in the air, particularly when Pastor Wale and his team will not let us rest. It's about the nations. Let them be shining in the nations. I don't think Nigeria is a nation. In all the air. And you want to travel. It's already in your head. You want to leave Nigeria. In all the air. And your head is Canada. Residence permit. Masters in the UK. Sorry. There are many nations in the earth, all the earth. And nothing, You know, Bolivia. You know how Ethiopia is? I'm just sensing. So, other brethren too. We just say, I just see that nation in your heart. Be careful of those kind of prophecies. That nation in your heart. You know, you say, Ocheo. Jammy. That nation in your heart. And again, when you look at nations in scripture, ethnos, peoples, right? Nation can be language. It can be tribe. But all the nations on your head are English. So, this is where the inward witness place. Where exactly? Someone told me, say, I was just praying. And he now said, he mentioned the country. I said, you don't need prayer for this one. It's all over the internet, this country. He said, sir. So he now did the application and he did not deny him. He now came again to another country. I said, you want to travel? Just say, Lord, be honest with the Lord. Don't say prayer. It's not prayer. Do you get it? This particular person, let me just shock you. This person, he's not a member of this church, so don't look around. Now finally got a job that you can do from your house. I was earning a lot of money. That's how leading just spam. Bro, so I just sense as you stay a bit, man. When you are earning money in dollars, I'm saying seven figures. I mean, the dollars, five figures in dollars. And they say, stay here. I just... Like you taught us. We're chatting, so I now put an icon of smile. He said, sir, I don't know why you're smiling. I said, I'm just happy for you. I'm just happy for you. He's not going to be happy for you. You know? When you see brethren, he says, which is specific. You now look at, let me stop. I don't want trouble. But the point is, this comes in when you want to be specific. Very specific. And this will deal with, sometimes, I'm going to show you one text, 1 Samuel, again. So those who had the Urim and used it, like David, 1 Samuel 23, they also had visions, though. They had revelations. Do you understand? They were prophesied, it came to pass. But you see, in this instance, is when you are dealing with specific facts. And almost all the time, if not all the time, this deals with the work of the ministry. 1 Samuel 23, verse 2. David inquired of the Lord. Is that a Urim? Huh? I would not listen, right? Yeah, to seek. Just like that, Acts 1. That inquired means that it's not just done. You know, unlike those folks that would just pour something and wait, it's done also with prayer. So which means the inward witness for us today becomes louder and stronger and more in the place of prayer. I'm waiting on the Lord. And I'm waiting on the Lord. That's why it must be a practice. Like E.W. Kenyon would say, we must learn to practice His presence. He says, the practice of the presence means that I know He dwells with me. And so I consciously walk in that reality. So on a daily basis, I'm waiting, I'm praying. I'm praying as I go, I'm praying as I move. So what I'm doing is that I am waiting on the Lord and expecting to receive an inward witness of specific things. You know, we said last time that when it comes to, now we have said that, you know, it's really about God's will in the earth and ministry and all that. And I said to us that, does it include our career? I said, yes. Now look at this instance. We'll continue this, I mean, definitely, on and on. I need to teach along these layers for the rest of the year. Shall I go and smite these Philistines? The Lord said to David, go. As well, and save Keilah. Specific. He brought the fact. Do you see it? Can you see it? There is a fact. Is it me or Jonathan? There is a fact. We said the inward witness, witnesses, can you see it? Acknowledges, can you see it now? Is this clear? Aha. Uh-huh. To a fact that is what? Exposed to it. Should I go? Go. Then he came. Then verse 4. Said, again, yet again, Lord answered him, said, arise, go to Kilia, for I will deliver the Philistines to your hands. He went. Then he now told him in verse 7, aha, Oga, I saw an email sent to Saul. He is coming to come and get you. David went again. And then in verse 9, somebody had come to tell him that, ah, God David, so somebody in your ministry that is telling them that information, I say, eh. So he now went again and said to Abithar the priest, bring either the ephod. And said to David, O Lord, then said David, O Lord God, thy servant suddenly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city of my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up unto his hand? Will Saul come down as God, as servant has heard, the Lord God of Israel, I beseech you, tell thy servant, and the Lord said, he will come down. Ah. Then said David, Lord, I know, he will come down. Okay. Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men to the hand of Saul? The Lord said, they will deliver you up. He didn't ask the next question. He ran. You don't say, Lord, what about your angels? Do you hear anything again? You have enough information to know what to do. Is that clear? So, the inward witness is about those facts. So when Paul, is it clear? Is it clear? Uh-huh. It's not an assumption. It's not, I feel, no. It's not an assumption. Acts 19. Remember something Gula Copeland said one day? Acts 19. Where is it? Now we are now talking about trains and all that. They start getting inward witness when you are entering train. It's fear. Of course, once you take caution, that's what I'm saying. Lord, train, bus, down is fear. See what I'm saying? Say, ah. He say, Uber. Ah. That one is fear. I tell someone today, well, they relax. Hmm? Don't let your theology be media driven. Is that clear? Aha. Uh-huh. Do you take common sense approach? Yes. Common sense is also God's leading. Is that clear? When you see water, and the water is colored, you don't say, ah, why is Fanta coming through this stuff? Your eyes are given to lead you. Do you understand? I've done that before. There was one guy, a revealed man. I just told him this story 2 years ago. Was it last year? I didn't tell him for years. He was supposed to give us Fanta. So he didn't open it. You know why I boy and said he has not launched it? He didn't launch the Fanta. This Fanta that is in big bottles. Me and some guys. Pashike. They were now cleaning one tank. They call it black tank. So at the end of the time, they will clean it. So the thing they were flushing, that was very, we now took the Fanta, put that inside. Put it in his locker. So he came. He opened it. We were on the bed, we were looking at him. Sir, this has spoiled. Hmm? I just told him recently. I'm forgiven. Boys will be boys. Acts 19:21. So when you see your children do something and you are shouting, shut up! Hypocrite. Someone was telling me that his son, his child, was liking the girl, and he did not like it. He said, Pastor, well, I'm just thinking, you're not thinking anything. Do you know how many times he did the husband and wife? So, are you not here today? Are you not fine? No, be your junior will tell one simple line, you are scared, you go to hell. Are you in hell? If it's hell, you'll have gone since. How many times you will have cleaned up very well? They come. Do you think you didn't leave the house? Did you do that inside? You are now saying, you're not afraid. What are you afraid of? Maybe it's your sins that are even finding out. Are we in the scripture? All of these things were ended for purpose in the spirit. I saw a few verses. He resolved. He knew in the spirit. So we can know. Can you see that? Is that Urim? Aha. He knew. Specific. That it compelled an action, a specific action. Just like Acts 17, 16. Look at that, Acts 20, 22. I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem. Can you, they are specific, right? Bound unto Jerusalem. Very specific. You are called to all the world, but God just compels you. I was telling someone, I said, you know, you must, as a preacher of the gospel, don't make this mistake. Never. I heard this from Pastor Adeboye one day and he blessed my heart. This was in the 90s or so. Maybe it was just something he said personally. He said, you know that as his church is so large and all that, he said, there's some folks. This is how he said it. He said, they won't even come to where he is. They'll go to another place. Now, that was, I didn't hear just what he said. Until Brother Hagin now said, when they said, Brother Hagin, why did you come to Africa, come to Nigeria? And he said, I'm not led. And you know, wonder, is it not to go and bless lives? You know, some just say, no, it's not to, you know, some just bless lives in all the earth. Relax. I said somebody a few days ago, I said, we are in all the media, we are in different places, we want to reach the world. And if I had to constantly be saying of late that all the earth, I'll be saying it a lot. I said, but there are specific places that will always come up in your spirit. Always. You know, sometimes in church when we have people pastor different churches and sometimes we are talking, I know people that they are not just doing those things or pastor in that place because you sent them. They are actually led. And you see it from what they say. That, you know, this one is not like he's doing it because, no, he's led. So there are specific things, specific to Jerusalem. That's how the effort, the inward witness. That is, it's a, how did he resolve? It didn't just, it's a place of seeking the Lord. You are praying in the spirit. Always. And those, there will be pointers. You'll be, it's not, like we said, it's Jerusalem. So when it got to Acts 21, let me just start to round up now. When it got to Acts 21, and the brethren came, you know, and they were prophesying, they said, no, don't go. I said here, the inward witness makes us separate emotions. How many of you know we are all emotional? We all can be emotional. Makes us separate emotions. You know, I'm sure if they ask them, who do you want, Matthias or Justus? They say, Justus came for camp meeting earlier. You know, those things can come up. So, Matthias, the way he shared that day, the way he taught. And one thing I trust God for all our pastors to develop, and they have it, praise the Lord, is the spirit to know such abilities. And sometimes I remind them, I say, look, remember you, how you started. The pastor was telling me, he said, no, that before you become a pastor in the ministry, the ministry, you must use this number of years. When he mentioned number of years, I said, that is, even Jesus would not have been Lord. So I said, calm down. I said, how old is your church? He now mentioned the years of their own church. It's not up to the years he just gave me. He said, that means you are also not qualified to pastor. He said, I never thought like that. I said, it's good to think like that. You know, I said, relax now. You know, the leading of the spirit. As a pastor, so you have to know. Because some people can carry, you can be carried away. The way they handle scriptures. You know, they say, he's divided the war, he scattered scriptures. The Lord's anointed his body. And, you know, they brought him. You saw that last week. They brought Eliab. Eliab was already named. Swallowed up. Before he said anything, he said, motive. The codified language, unifier. So what are you waiting for? Yeah, I said, play that song. I see him. God said, what are you seeing? Standing out your door. So you're not trying to sing it. He said, no. Damn it, stop playing. They brought the other guy and said, no. The other guys have changed their own. They won't play in tongues. They'll just be, it's not you. Okay, no, I know it's not you. When I was there, someone was like, what's going on? He said, it's your job. And that, even if I had forgotten, I had said, there's one. He didn't qualify. He said, go and bring it. As he got in, he said, that's a lot. Specific. Can you see it? Specific. So you can be carried away by sight. Other one, sister. One guy was very laboring in their church. Joint department. Didn't join small department. Those who clean church. So she fell into love. She entered it also. The night of the wedding. That's how, you know, they were still resting from the day's activities of wedding. You know, they are dancing with their sorrow. Not knowing that one sorrow was there. She just woke up. I saw the guy saying, Bismillah, Rahman, Honey, say, I'm actually a Muslim. And I wanted a born-again Christian. And I knew that you people would not want to come to the mosque. So I came to just be a good Christian. You know, maybe you told me you really love me. So I said, yeah. That means, all through the time, he was witness, ma'am. She was carried away. You don't be carried away. Amen? That is what knowledge. Specific. So, in this instance, they are prophesying. No, so don't go. His friends, Acts 21, said no. So they were getting emotional. No, don't go. Philip thought as well, and then Agabus. Everybody was, and that was very specific. They were in the living room. Agabus just entered there because why would he find his belt? You said, who owns this belt? They didn't write Paul on it. Not like you write your name on your belt. Said they are going to, you know, arrest the man who has this belt. And you all looked at Paul. Ah, that's why it's not good to borrow belts. Paul. And they said, you should not go. He said, why do you break my heart? Why did he know he was going to Jerusalem? He has said it in chapter 20. He's bound to Jerusalem. Specific. So the inward witness helps us to separate. I was talking to someone. I said, that was a few weeks ago, about who should be my pastor, all these things, spiritual father. I said, look, who did God lead you to? God can't lead you to all the men of God in the body of Christ. You will go mad. I said, whoever he led you to need not be compared with anybody. Don't compare your life. He led you, say, go and pray. Immediately we were talking, he said, I think it's you. I said, don't think. I'm not a good person. I know. Say, go and pray, so that you'll be able to suffer long. So I was looking at me like, I said, look at me. you know you're not in our church, that's why I'm very nice to you. I said that so that you really go and pray. You don't be carried away, oh. Because you start coming to church, you will stay outside, they lock the door. Amen? You do study group. You come, you say, Pastor, like I told you the other day. Remember when I was in secondary school, I had this senior. I used to joke with him a lot. I said, let's go by four. He said, we'll be playing. He was 2 years my senior. Yeah, 2 years my senior. So, I didn't know the signs and seasons. Time and season. So one day, just came to the dining hall. Those guys are very fun. They come when you're eating jollof rice. Then I said, you don't have your fork and knife.
fork and knife
and spoon. That means they want to take most of the food. So they know most of us. Say, go out. That means you can't eat that day. Fork and knife. In fact, there was one time like that, one of the seniors said, if you don't have napkin, why are you so wicked? I see them today, they are complaining about government. I say, you, from body house. So I just went to meet him. I said, that's coming by phone. You don't give me a text. No! Jadanu! You know what Jadanu is? Jadanu means start to run. I ran. Yeah. So I saw him in another light. I was just trying to tell that brother. It's a different thing when we are playing on the internet. When you join the assembly of the community, I said, so go and pray. And when you are prayed, then you be committed. Amen. So who did God lead you to? Inward with them. Woo. So it's very good to have those things. So Paul, his friends, his colleagues were definitely emotional. And inward witness is when you know you are specific. I mean, I've had offers. So come and do this in this ministry. I said, no. I wasn't led to do this. Some people now come and tell you, use wisdom. Someone say, use wisdom. This is wisdom. It's wisdom. You know? Someone gave me an offer one day. And that offer, don't let me give you the details. It's one of your pastors, or the pastor's what I'm saying. And the guy says, pastor, you don't even have to pay. We'll give you, it was so juicy. I said, no. We're not led to do this. The guy looked at me. Led. Sir, I'm saying that for 1 whole year, your ministry will do so. I said, no, don't worry. You just go and set yourself up. I told you about Lot. That Sodom was his problem for the rest of his life. Do you understand? All his problems were the problem of Sodom. It didn't take long. He was captured. It didn't take long. Let's just do the ministry that we know. Do you understand? Like Brother Hagin will say, it's better to be a little bit slower. Right? Than to be fast. When you are slow, you can still hear. That's why I don't finish doing things. Then you are praying. I've done this. Someone told me, sir, just want to know, what do you think about it? I've given me this. I've gotten the admission. I've gotten scholarship. I've gotten visa. You think I'm a witch? It's only a witch or a wizard that will say, don't do it. I just say, the Lord be with you. He'll cause his face to shine upon you. When I was younger, I said, are you sure it's the will of God? I can't say that again. Never! When I was younger, I said, no. Brother, you should have prayed. You should have... Never. I just said, wow! Beautiful. Congratulations. Hallelujah. Pastor, what are you saying? Exactly what I just said. Oh. The day the tortoise knew how to say, oh, he started living long. You know, one has to be smart. Even God. I was talking about, God was talking about Nigeria a few days ago. I said, have you ever led people before? He said, tell me who God has ever led successfully in this world, our Almighty God. From the beginning. That's why you are planned to say that before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, he has provided sacrifice for your sins. You know, if the care we give to the dead, we gave it to those who are sick, they will still be alive. They will not die, sorry. So, it's important as believers that we know the inward witness. Let me just say one more thing and we'll just close on here. Look at something on God's leading. Never said that. God always leads us. In Acts 20 and 28, I didn't even plan to take this long. Hope you are learning something. It says, take you to yourself and to the flock, over which the Holy Ghost, close here, has made you overseers. He said the Holy Ghost made them overseers, but it was Paul who chose them. So the Holy Ghost did what Paul did. It was Paul who chose them. 1 Timothy 1:18. Prophecies have gone before you, that with them you may wage with good warfare. 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift I have given you by laying of hands and prophecy. 2 Timothy 1:6. Tell of the gift I have given you by prophecy, laying of my hands. So Paul is saying that he is the agency that God used. And he says that the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is not just something personal to you. Always be open to God's leading. He always leads you. Did you hear me? God always leads you. Either by the inward witness, revelations, visions, prophecies, he leads you. So we're saying this because we say, there are times you have to be specific. And that's why the Urim was used. Where is specific? Jerusalem. This place. Lagos. Oka. Ibadan. Brother. Sister. Let me mention who is it? Confirmation. Specific. Hallelujah. So, the leader of the Spirit is something you must keep hearing. That's why every year, for at least 26 years, as a preacher, 27 actually, I always teach along these lines. It's one of those things that, like Martin Luther said, I teach my people righteous through faith because every week they forget it. It's easy for all of us to forget it. And we're in a very, very sensitive time. Information is all over us. Before you Google it, pray about it. You hear me? Aha. Before you start Googling, where is that place again? Where is this one? Where is that one? You know, before you Google it, before you start, pray about it. Sometimes you have so much information and the word will logically lead you. Yet you are not led by the Spirit of God. Amen. You're blessed. Let's stand to our feet and God bless the Lord. Thank you. You lead and I will follow.